It's Dave Plyer back with you here on 720 WGN. Now, you're listening to the theme from Creature Features, which aired in the early 70s on WGN Channel 9 in Chicago, and also meant that WGN overnight legends Eddie Schwartz and Stephen Johnny were going to talk about Chicago's most frightening ghost stories in and around Chicagoland with the late Richard Crowe. For hours, they lamented about the ghostly hauntings of places like Graceland Cemetery, Bachelor's Grove, as well as Archer Avenue, Resurrection Mary, Montrose Point, and so much more. And a Halloween tradition we started 7 years ago is with our guest tonight, Ursula Bielski. Ursula is a historian, a parapsychology enthusiast, an author, the founder of Chicago Hauntings, and is a host of PBS's The Hauntings of Chicago. She grew up in a haunted house on Chicago's north side, and she joins us tonight. Good evening, Ursula.
Dave, how are you?
Oh, I love our little tradition.
Love hearing that music every year with you.
Right?
It's so great to be here.
Sets the tone, sets the mood, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, like nothing else.
Well, you know what? If you want to jump into the conversation and ask Ursula any questions tonight about the hauntings in and around Chicago, 312-981-7200. So how did you get into the business of paranormal? I love the story.
Yeah, I grew up in a haunted house, the house that my mom and dad bought in 1967 in North Center, St. Ben's Parish, was known as the haunted house in the neighborhood when they bought it, and it was very run down, and they figured that when they moved into it and brought some life into it, that they would lose the stigma, but instead, the first night they stayed in the house, they were sleeping in the bedroom downstairs because the upstairs was needed all this work. It was really uninhabitable at the time, and they heard people walking around, running up and down the halls. And my dad was a cop at the time, and he took his service revolver off the nightstand and went all through the house and checked every floor, every door, every closet, and there was nothing. Came back to bed. He told my mom, "It spooks. Go back to bed." And that's what he told us for years. Every night when we heard, eventually lived up, moved the bedrooms upstairs. And I remember some of my earliest memories of being woken up in that house to the sound of footsteps coming up the stairs. So I think I got into this really to understand these kinds of experiences that I had growing up and experiences that so many people were having around me as well.
We have got scads of texts already that have said, tell us a story about Resurrection Mary. I mean, that's the famous one, Archer Avenue, the Willowbrook Ballroom that burned down a few years ago. Tell us the story.
The story of Resurrection Mary is absolutely one that is so enduring in Chicago. And there are actually stories of a woman in white being seen out on Archer Road back to the time of the building of the Illinois and Michigan Canal in the 1830s, when there was a woman in white who appeared outside on Archer Road outside of St. James at Sag Bridge. But the modern stories of Resurrection Mary date to at least the early 1930s, when young men traveling along Archer Avenue in the Willow Springs Justice area in the wee hours of the morning would come upon a woman walking along the side of the road wearing a long white dress or a party dress and dancing shoes. And they would pull over and ask her if she needed a ride. And this girl is always very vague about where she lives. But she says, "Just drive up Archer, drive up Archer." So she'll get into the car and always, without fail, as they pass the gates of a famous cemetery, Resurrection Cemetery, she will either just jump out of the moving car and run right through the locked cemetery gates or tell the driver to stop the car and then jump out of the car and run away. And there have been other times when this woman has been hit in the road outside of the cemetery, and try as they might, the drivers just cannot find a body. And again, these stories date back to at least the early 1930s, but they continue today. There was a truck driver who contacted me just about a year ago who told me that he was traveling through downtown Summit at about 4 o'clock in the morning. This is just north of the cemetery. And he saw this girl about 14 or 15 years old wearing like a First Communion dress and veil over her head. And he said she looked like a young Gwyneth Paltrow, with like if Gwyneth Paltrow was young and had bobbed hair, blonde bobbed hair. And he passed by her, and she smiled at him. She was all alone, and he smiled back at her and just kept driving, and then realized he had just seen this young girl standing on the corner in this white dress at 4 o'clock in the morning. It was like a Wednesday morning or something.
Wow.
Looked in the rearview mirror, and she was gone. So, yeah, these stories continue even today. There have to have been hundreds, if not thousands, of encounters with this girl.
Well, in the Willowbrook Ballroom, so much of a big part of that, too, that has burned down. And that hasn't been rebuilt yet. I mean, that's something that they've been talking
about. They've been talking about rebuilding that. I know they were talking about rebuilding it into a community center with a dance hall as part of it, and I think even senior apartments. And then I guess the deal fell through because few weeks ago, someone sent me a link to a listing for it. It's listed for $2 million or something. So I don't know. I wish our old ballroom would come back. It's so missed. What
Absolutely.
A place that was.
Absolutely. Marshall Field & Company was plagued with death and disaster and their paranormal ramifications for more than 100 years. The big one was the devastating fire in December of 1903 at the nearby Iroquois Theater fire.
That fire remains the worst single building fire in American history. It was a fire that devastated the Iroquois Theater, which was on the site where the Nederlander Theater is today, the Oriental Theater. Mm-hmm. And there were so many deaths in the building for various reasons. You know, the big one was that the doors opened inward, and so many people were trapped inside because the doors became closed and they couldn't be opened because of the rush of people from behind, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people from behind. And so today we have outward opening doors on public buildings all over the world because of the fire. But many of the people who died in the fire died in the alley behind the theater, Couch Place. And that's a spot where people still say they smell smoke. The stagehands and the property managers at the theater have told us that they have had to go out into the alley during performances because they hear very loudly the sound of children playing and laughing in the alley. There were many children who died in the fire. It was during the Christmas holidays. And they'll go out into the alley and there's absolutely no one there. So extremely strong presences that are still experienced, not only in the alley, but inside the building, backstage. Many cast and crew of performances will report seeing this young girl in a leotard and a sequined skirt running up and down the stairs behind the stage. And this is believed to be the apparition of the only person from the performance actually that day that was killed in the fire, who was a young girl who was part of the tightrope act. So, oh my gosh, so many stories there. You know, I have been there. I have told that story at that location probably 3,000 times on our ghost tours. And every time I go in that alley, I get choked up. I get tears in my eyes. That place, that one place.
Well, the Macy's, you know, Marshall Field's building on State Street, it was the eighth floor, and the eighth floor has now been sold, so Macy's does not own that anymore. It had furniture on it, and, you know, people have talked about, you know, having, like, this kind of, like, dead kind of feeling, like cold and unexplainable when they sit on the floor, and they're walking through the floor, like it's just eerie to them when they walk through, and they didn't know the story.
I have, not knowing the story, I have gotten several letters and calls over the years from usually women now, elderly women who worked at Marshall Field's when they were young. And there was one letter that I got just a few years ago from a woman who's in her 90s now. When she was young, she came to Chicago, you know, so full of excitement for coming to Chicago to live. And she felt so lucky because she got a job working at Marshall Field for the Christmas holidays. And the first day she started work, the manager took her up to the eighth floor where the lockers were and told her to put her coat in the locker and took her down to her physician, and she said at lunchtime, she told the manager that she had to quit. She felt she would not be able to go and put her purse and her coat in that locker because she had such an overwhelming sense of foreboding and sadness on that floor.
Wow. Those stories continue as well. Texter wants to know about the Congress Hotel. They've had some experiences there, it seems like, themselves. Tell me a little bit about the Congress Hotel.
Congress Plaza Hotel. All of our bus tours leave from the Congress.
Is that right?
And it's just the hot spot for ghost hunters. Our team, actually, with Chicago Hauntings, did the first investigations there probably about 12 or 13 years ago now. And we were so fortunate. There's a wonderful security guard there who actually has a notebook that he's kept for 20 years where he records all of the experiences that people have that he shared with us and took us to many of the different rooms that are believed to be haunted. But the big story about the Congress, you know, it was built for the World's Fair of 1893 for travelers. And there have been like 900 rooms in the place. And there have been so many deaths, suicides, and accidental deaths over the years. So many. And it is also a place where it's rumored that the hotel was the inspiration for Stephen King when he wrote his short story called 1408, which also became a movie starring John Cusack. And the story centers around a paranormal investigator who's very jaded, and he loses his young daughter, and he's determined to find, he needs to find evidence of the afterlife so that he knows he'll see his daughter again. And so he checks into this hotel in New York that has this room that's so haunted that everyone who checks in this room kills themselves. And let's just say he finds out that the paranormal is real and the afterworld is real. But according to legend, Stephen King was influenced by this room in the Congress Hotel to write this story. And the room is actually, if the room still had a number on it, it would be room 666. But the room, the door is gone. The door has been papered over. And the window washers tell us that they boarded up the room with all the furniture still inside.
Wow.
It's very eerie, and nobody knows why this happened. But it makes for interesting bedtime stories, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're talking to Ursula Bielski. She's got some great tours and the Chicago Ghost Con coming up. We'll talk about that. And her website, by the way, is chicagohauntings.com, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get back here on 720 WGN. All right, it's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. We're talking to Ursula Bielski about haunted Chicago and Chicago's legendary ghost stories in and around town. The cemeteries, Ursula, are always ones that we talk about. There's Graceland, there's Bachelor's Grove. So let's start off with Bachelor's Grove Cemetery.
Without question, one of the most haunted, not just cemeteries in the world, but places in the world. As we talked about, I wrote a 200-page book just about Bachelor's Grove that came out last year that was 30 years in the making. It is I called it God's gift to ghost hunters in my first book, and it really is. There is every kind of phenomena under the sun that's occurred here in this little 1-acre settler cemetery that's now surrounded by the forest reserves of Cook County. This is located at 143rd Street and near Central Avenue on the southwest side. And this little cemetery was just, you know, a settler cemetery like a thousand others in the earliest days of settlement. It was established in the 1830s. And, you know, many of the founders of Tinley Park and the surrounding areas are buried there. But everything from a vanishing house to black phantom dogs to this famous woman in white, the Madonna of Bachelor's Grove. There was a very famous photo that was taken of her in 2010, I believe it was, by a woman named Judy Huff. That remains one of the most famous paranormal photographs of all time. It's a woman in a diaphanous gown sitting on a tombstone base. And it's still very controversial, but you know, it's a controversial photo, but it still has not been proven to be false. So it's an amazing photo. But all of these sightings that people have and experiences that people have there have come together to make it such a haunted place. And one of the most interesting places about at Bachelor's Grove is the old water-filled quarry that's adjacent to the cemetery. And according to legend, this was a place where gangsters dumped bodies back in the 1920s, which was a part of its lore, you know, that led to this incredible haunting of the location. I've come to really stay away from Bachelor's Grove because I believe that there is something really negative, not in the cemetery, but in the woods surrounding there, because there has been a lot of ritual activity that's gone on there going back to the 1960s, probably as a result of the rumors of the hauntings there, kind of like attracts ritual activity, you know, people trying to tap into those spirits for their own use. But it seems like there's something very extremely negative there that can have a really bad effect on people and their personalities. And people seem to be drawn back there over and over and over. And that's something that's indicative of these negative places. But it is a fascinating place historically also. And a place that everyone should learn about, because it's really a it's an archaeological site, you know, that really shows our history going back to the 1800s. And if you go back into the woods, you can still see the remains of some of the old home sites of the homesteads that were there. So it's really just a fascinating place. But wow, those ghost stories are intense, and they continue to intensify as the years go by and thousands of people visit there every year.
Yeah, Bachelor's Grove is the big one. Also, Graceland Cemetery. There's also stories about, right? I mean, a lot of
famous. That's where we talked about how did I get started doing this. So that was a big part of my getting started doing this. Grew up not far from Graceland Cemetery. This is the cemetery right at, the big cemetery right at Irving Park and Clark Street near Wrigley Field.
Right.
And when I was a little girl, my dad used to take me there and teach me about Chicago history, because the Marshall Fields and the Pullmans and the Palmers and
the famous,
all of our famous architects are there. Yeah, it's all the movers and the shakers. And it's got these great ghost stories, too. The little ghost girl, Inez Clark, whose beautiful sculpture sits under this glass case. People have talked for years about that statue going missing during thunderstorms, and they say that's why they encased it in glass to prevent it from going missing. But according to legend, it still happens. There's another great site there. They call it the Statue of Death. It's this beautiful, truly haunting sculpture of like a grim reaper figure with a shrouded cloak up to its face. You can just see the dark eyes, this big bronze figure that has weathered with age to this green patina. And people say that if you stare long enough into the eyes of this statue, you will get a glimpse of the manner in which you will die. So a prognostication of your own death. This statue is so fascinating, too, and this is something that I found out just a couple of years ago. A friend of mine, his name is Robert Murch, and they call him Murch, and he is the primo expert on Ouija boards in the world. He has thousands of them. And he had come to Chicago for a ghost conference a few years ago, and he was at Graceland Cemetery looking for the grave of a guy named Simons, who was the manufacturer of Ouija boards in Chicago. And back in the 1920s, Ouija boards were mainly produced in Chicago. I never knew that. But the earliest packaging for the Ouija board, the earliest box, the illustration on the box is of this, they call him the Blue Ghost, and it's this shrouded figure with this cloaked arm up to its face.
Wow.
And when Murch visited Graceland Cemetery, he saw the statue of death created by Loretto Taft, and was like, oh my God, was this the inspiration for this illustration? And it's certainly, when you put them side by side, they're just dead ringers, no pun intended.
Yeah, right.
But it's really amazing. We'll probably never know, but it's definitely, it's very fascinating.
My grandparents are at Resurrection Cemetery, and I always find it quite eerie that, first of all, families used to picnic in the cemeteries. I mean, that used to be part of the culture at that time, very European. And there's gravestones.
We still do that.
Yeah, right. But I mean, there's gravestones around my grandparents' grave that have pictures on them from the 1920s or the 10s or the 30s, whatever it might be. I just find that so eerie. Like, you're walking around, I feel like you're being stared at a little bit. But that was also a tradition on the tombstones.
Right, and at one of the most famous ghost stories in Chicago is connected to one of those, the story of Julia Bacola, the Italian bride, at Mount Carmel Cemetery out in Hillside. This is the cemetery where all the gangsters are buried. Al Capone is there, and O'Banion, and all their cohorts, and it's also where the Bishop's Mausoleum is, so it's like saints and sinners all in one place. Mm-hmm. Including this girl, Julia Bacola, who grew up on Taylor Street in Chicago, and she died in childbirth. And her baby died with her, and she was buried in her wedding dress with the baby in her arms. And neither of them, according to the story at least, were embalmed. But Julia's mother immediately had nightmares every night that Julia was begging to have her body exhumed. And after 7 years, she finally went to her parish priest and told him about these dreams. And he said that they should probably disinter the body to try and put her to rest.
Yeah. Wow.
So they brought up the body and found that Julia's baby in her arms was totally decomposed, but Julia looked like she was sleeping. She was perfectly preserved as she looked, you know, when she passed away 7 years before. And this was a sign to especially many people in Chicago, especially Italian Americans, that she was perhaps a saint. You know, this lack of decomposition is something that the church looks for, determining sainthood. So there was this collection taken up and this statue put up over her grave, the statue of the Italian bride, Julia, in her wedding dress with a bouquet of roses in her arms. And they say that even in the wintertime, you can sometimes smell this overpowering scent of roses at the grave, which is another indication of saintliness at a grave site. But there is, on the base of that monument, there are two of those porcelain plaques that you talked about. And one of them is Julia on her wedding day, you know, looking beautiful, just like the statue. And the next to it is the photo of her in the casket.
Yeah, see,
7 years later when she was disinterred.
I know, and taking pictures of the casket was also a tradition as well. There's going to be more with Ursula Bielski after the news. All right, it's Dave Player back with you here on 720 WGN. We're talking to Ursula Bielski about haunted Chicago and Chicago's legendary ghost stories in and around town. Ursula, before we talk about GhostCon and your tours, tell us a little bit about the Eastland disaster and the hauntings surrounding that terrible tragedy.
Oh my gosh, the Eastland disaster is still the worst disaster in Great Lakes history. Hopefully nothing worse will ever happen.
Yeah.
This was when the Eastland steamer, which was actually it was a picnic boat, tipped over on the Chicago River, and it led to the deaths of 844 people in the summer of 1915. And this occurred right along the Chicago River at 19 feet of water on a summer day. It's like, compared to Titanic, you know, it's like not it's not that much less of a disaster than the Titanic, which happened out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, right?
Yeah.
A horrible disaster happened right on the river between the Clark and LaSalle Street bridges. And that site, where the tragedy occurred, many people died in the water, but so many drowned inside the hull of the vessel as well, which filled up with water very quickly. And it took days for divers to get all of the bodies out of the out of the hall. It was just a gruesome, horrible scene. And that site is still a place where people passing by will talk about hearing the cries for help coming off the water, hear the screaming, see even what people describe as luminescent forms or faces on the water. And most interesting, many people passing along the river there on Wacker Drive or across the bridges, the LaSalle Street Bridge and the Clark Street Bridge, say that they feel compelled to jump into the water, not knowing anything about the disaster, not knowing what happened there. Many tourists who have no idea what happened there say they feel this need to jump into the water. It's almost as if they are feeling compelled to jump into the water and try to save people that day. I think, you know, this is like when we talk about a haunting, this is a true haunting when some emotion is so strong that's expounded during usually a great tragedy, that feeling remains behind sometimes for centuries, where people can still pick up on it and be influenced by it. And I think that's what we have at the site of Eastland, is a true haunting, where all of that emotion from that terrible day still remains and still influences the living as they pass the area.
And so many of the places. Was the Excalibur Nightclub, which is Tau now, the old Chicago Historical Society building back in 1892, was that used as a morgue for that?
You know, there's a general misconception that it was, but it was not. There was actually a funeral home that was right next to that property where some of the bodies were taken, but not into the Excalibur building, which is, it's called what now? It's called Tau?
Tau. It's an Asian fusion. But that building is reported hauntings as well.
Oh, very, very much so. Yeah, that's the old Chicago Historical Society building. And it's believed that there was a building on that site during the Great Chicago Fire, and that there may have been people who sought shelter in the building because the previous building was not wood either, but made of stone or limestone of some kind, and that there may have been people who died in the building during the Great Fire. But the Chicago Historical Society building, which is there, the old building that's there today, you know, that's a location where a lot of the bodies of the early settlers were stored for a while. And it's believed that the first murder victim in Chicago, Jean Lalime, was still is haunting that building. Wow. There's this kind of greenish figure of what looks like a fur trapper seen on the staircase in the building.
And so many of these places, yeah, like this one and so many others, are on your tours as well. But next weekend, you've got the Chicago Ghost Con. It's a paranormal expo coming up. Talk to folks about this.
Yeah, this is going to be our 10th Chicago Ghost Conference. We're going to be holding it this year at the Holiday Inn in Countryside, Illinois, on Joliet Road. And it's 3 days, and we actually have people from all over the world coming.
That's cool.
We have paranormal investigators and authors and paranormal theorists and ghost hunting teams. And we have two dozen speakers and workshops in everything from ghost hunting to recording the voices of the dead to mediumship. And then we have more than 40 vendors and exhibitors too, and readers and everything in the expo room. We're also, this year, we're having the very first paranormal pro wrestling match as part of our expo.
Nice.
Because we have several longtime paranormal investigators that are also professional wrestlers.
That's cool. Right.
That there's a kind of cool crossover, and our good friend Sven Gulli will be there on Friday as well.
Of course, of course.
So we'll have a lot of fun. We have a big costume party at right across from Resurrection Cemetery at Chess Melody Lounge at the Picnic Grove on Saturday night too.
And of course, there's tours that you can participate in as well. And for all of this and Ursula's books, I mean, really, there's so much to do over the next few weeks, and she really jams it in between the Chicago Ghost Con and all these other tours. Simply visit ChicagoHauntings.com, and we'll put it on the podcast after the show as well. Ursula, always a pleasure, and have a haunted Halloween, my friend.
You too, my dearest. Thank you so much.
All right, take care. All right, we're gonna play Sorry Wrong Number with Agnes Moorehead, one of the greatest chilling radio plays of all time. I do this only one time a year where we play 3 weeks of these amazing plays, and we're going to do that next here on 720 WGN.